Your Dallas Stars have clinched a spot in the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. We need the loudest and proudest fans at American Airlines Center for every playoff matchup as the Stars battle their way to their Stanley Cup destiny. Don't miss a single second of playoff hockey this season. Secure your seats now at DallasStars.com.
Duchesne, backhand, score!
One state, one team, Texas hockey.
For the 11th time in their franchise history, and the first since 2016, the Stars have won their division. The Dallas Stars are Central Division champions.
Welcome to the Podman Rush, the official podcast of the Dallas Stars, presented by Kingsville Brewery. Let's join the rush with your hosts, Daryl Razor Ray and Mike Hyka.
Champions behave like champions before they're champions. They have a winning standard of performance before they're actually winners. You know who said that?
John Wooden?
It was a dramatic pause, Mike.
Oh, sorry. You asked a question.
Do I have to start over?
You were asking the podcast audience?
Do I have to start over?
Nah, go ahead. Just fight through.
This is the Podman Rush. That was Bill Walsh, Mike Hyka. Bill Walsh. Not Joe Walsh. Bill. 49er Bill. Knew a little something-something about winning. And the Stars know a little something-something about winning this year. Oh, my Lord. Here we are on the eve, or close to it, of the final regular season game of the 2023-24 season. And man, are we going to parse this one for you today out there in P. Rush land. Where do you want to start, Mike? Where do you want to start?
I think, and this is a point you're making too, just how rare this is and how cool it is. This is the second division championship in the last 18 seasons.
That's all. And
it really is. Like, it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but to get to this level and then to look at all the numbers, and, you know, I asked them the other day, I think a couple days ago, they were leading the league in goal differential. Last season, they were second in the league in goal differential. I think that's a big stat. I mean, it puts you right up there with the best teams in the league, and I think they're there. All of it. I think the impact that this is something special and obviously has a chance to be even more special going forward.
Yeah. Well, look, they've won the division. First time since 15-16. Remember, they clinched that one in the last game. I had forgotten that one, that it took all the way to game 82. But then, you ever done any comparables between 2016 and 2024?
I have not.
You done that yet?
No. I remember the season.
I've done some. It was one of the greatest things I remember from the last division title season. They had onboarded. It was Lindy Ruff was the coach. They had Niemi and Kari Lehtinen in goal. They split duties straight down the middle. And I had forgotten a little bit how much they spread things out with that team too. Like, you can look at Jamie because he's the captain and he's a thread to both. Like, he was averaging the same minutes in 2015-16 as he is this year. Which I found wild, like crazy, because I really thought that he was closer to the 20-minute mark back then, but yeah, he wasn't. But he scored 41 goals. Scored 41 that year. But if you go back to the very beginning of that season, they had onboarded the former Hawks, right? Patrick Sharp and Johnny Oduya. It was major. I mean, those guys had done nothing but win. You know, three cups in 5 years in
something
Chicago?
Like that, yeah.
Is that what they did? And you get these guys that just have just dripping with winning. Like, it's all they've really known in Chicago, right? And I forget who it was. I should have looked that up, who they played opening night. But anyway, they won. And the guys in the Stars room were going like ballistic and berserk. You thought they were going to tape up the stalls and break out the champagne. And to listen to both of those guys, both Johnny Oduya and Patrick Sharp talk, they were stunned in the room. Like they were just like, what the hell is going on here? Like, we've got 81 of these, you know, let's simmer down now. Lots of hockey. And it struck me so deeply because it was like, yeah, you want to get to that point where you just expect to win. You want to be one of those teams again, where the only time the room is different is it's a little bit more disappointed when you lose one of every five or whatever the hell it is. But for the most part, a fairly even keel. Yeah, win. Yeah, we expected to win, lose. Yeah, well, we'll win the next one. Attitude. And then they had that during the year. Now, I find this year more impressive than I do that year for this reason. That year, they ran out to just an incredible mark early. And then they pretty much played 500. Like, people forget, like, it was an incredible overall season. Their record was 26-7-2 at Christmas. Like, they were just mauling teams in the early going. And then they went on to play, if you look at it, I know it's not NHL 500, but if you look at wins, they won 24 games. And if you look at losses, they had 16 in regulation and had another 7 in overtime. So they're, you know, bouncing right around 500 hockey the rest of the year. But they built up such a phenomenal buffer in those first few months that they just kind of rode it on through. And then it was a tricky postseason after that, right? Like, it was, who'd they have? Minnesota, and that was, they almost screwed that up and lost to the Wild in the first round. And then they got into that series against St. Louis, and I think people all know kind of what went on. Kari Lehtinen couldn't have played better in game six. And then it was just red rotten in game seven. And that was the end of them. And ironically, it was Hitchcock on the other bench. And that was the end of that season. But there were a lot of comparables as far as balance and what they did in that. But the big thing this year is they've played some of their best hockey late in the season.
Yeah.
And like, they've been incredibly consistent throughout the year, but it's not like they, you know, went in some dip. Yeah, look, we're going to be a playoff team, and got disinterested for a while and lost a bunch of games. Like, it never happened this year. They overcame some injuries to individuals and kept winning rather consistently. When they did lose, they didn't go into a tailspin for very long, a couple games, and that's about it. Like, impressive stuff. And here they are, a game to go, and still semi knocking on the door of maybe, you know, finishing first overall in the NHL. Not to mention that they're going to hang some laundry up there again.
Yeah, to your original point, now that I think about it, they did a lot of celebrating for about a decade there. They were, what is it, red solo cups in the locker room after every win. And I mean, they really, I mean, I'm not trying to slam them or anything, but the Bill Guerin, Jason Arnott role from that time, there was a lot of celebrating going on. And to your point now, there isn't. They're very matter of fact about all this.
Right, but don't you think too, though, like, if you go back to what you mentioned in the very beginning, like, it's only the second time they've won the division in 18 years.
Yeah.
So excuse them, I guess, a little bit for the fact that they, you know, they weren't winning championships and divisions and all these things prior to that. So it was kind of like, hey, look at us. I think we're pretty good.
That's right.
Let's crank the tunes and get after it here. Whereas if you look at the last, I mean, there they were again, you know, kind of knocking on the door of the division last year. Weird thing in the bubble, but they went to the Stanley Cup final in the bubble. Like, you know, they've been around it. There's been more winning, more consistent winning in that here recently. So that probably makes sense then. How about the other the other teams in the Central that they out jockeyed. It was a crazy. I thought this thing was going to come right down to the wire. Did you not?
Yes.
Like I was asking you, should we brush up on what the tiebreaker scenarios
yes,
are?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
I thought realistically we might get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead, the Jets went into literally a tailspin, a death spiral, pulled out of it. Now it seems like Colorado's in one or has been in one. And you look at the last two games, the Jets have to be a little chesty, right? They walk out of the division after the two games against Dallas and Colorado, having outscored them 10-0, a combined 10-0. Yeah.
No, they're feeling good right now. And they should. Yeah. I mean, they've worked really hard to get to this place.
Yeah. So would 113 points be good enough for the President's Trophy?
I'm going to say no, simply because, although the Rangers haven't taken care of their business either, they could have put it away by now. But
they have to play, as we're recording this, they play Ottawa tonight. But you never know.
No.
But they can make the game, the finale for the Stars, not mean anything at all in that regard in the President's Trophy. And I got a pet peeve in the President's Trophy category, Mike.
Okay.
First off, do you believe in the curse of it in that or not?
No.
Do you believe that you should or shouldn't, or that you? It's been proven that it's a little difficult nowadays to go on and win a cup after you've been the best team in the regular season. Ask the Bruins of 2023.
I think those two won, the two examples, Tampa and the Bruins, they won by such a large margin and they faced so little adversity during the regular season. You can kind of logically look at that. You and I have talked about this a ton. I believe in Bob Gainey's, theory that to be the best team in 82 games is a really cool thing and something that will help you get ready for the playoffs. So I think you should raise the bar at all times. You should try to be the best team you can be. And I think that's what they're doing right now. So I personally think the chase for whatever you want to call it, the division, the President's Trophy, has really helped this team. And, Pete's always going like, well, we'll see when the playoffs start. But it just feels like this is a team that has pushed really hard to be good, and they are good.
Right. I would concur. And the not so much the Stars as the Detroit Red Wings and, Jim Nill's history with that franchise. They're the ones that seem to embrace it and double dip best through the year. So if you look at it, the last team to win the regular season, the President's Trophy, and then go on to win the cup was the 2013 Chicago Blackhawks, right in the middle of their little, was it beginning or would that be the beginning or middle of their little mini dynasty?
I'm losing track of
beginning,
all this stuff.
I think.
Yeah. It sounds like beginning.
Yeah. And then prior to that, it was the 2008 Detroit Red Wings. Stars lost to them in the conference final that year, but they were the best team in the regular season. Again, went on to win the cup. And then you go back to the Dallas Stars salad days. So you go back to the late 90s, very early aughts. So the Stars did it, obviously, in 99. They were the best in the regular season. They were just best wall to wall.
Yeah.
But in 2001, Colorado did it. And then in 2002, Detroit did it again with Hasek. And remember that one in the choreographed? Yeah. I hated that. That's my least favorite Stanley Cup. Too choreographed. Hated it. I hated that one. So that's the what you're dealing with if you do win in the regular season. It's happened. It can happen. It certainly is due to happen again, you could say. But my issue is more with the name of it. It's got to be renamed. Like, okay, if you grab someone right now and you said, okay, there's a trophy for the team that finishes with the best record in the regular season, the most points in the regular season, and it's called the President's Trophy. Who's it named after? How many people do you think would be just stunned in their, Or would they say, well, it's obviously Biden, or it's former President Bush, or maybe it's Reagan.
Maybe I believe there's a possessive apostrophe in there that says it's all of the presidents. So Washington, you know, all of them.
Really? Teddy?
Teddy Roosevelt? Yes. FDR? They're all included. Okay.
So really, when a team goes to the White House, it, mm-hmm. it should not be the Stanley Cup champion.
No.
It should be the President Trophy.
I agree.
And they get a picture with the sitting president and the President's Trophy.
It makes complete sense, doesn't it?
And if it's a Canadian team, is it the Prime Minister's Trophy?
Oh, wow. Now you're getting international on me.
Well, I
have to call the UN in on this one.
So, full disclosure, this award came to be in the mid-80s. And a man named John Ziegler in his yellow ties was the president of the National Hockey League. The National Hockey League no longer has a president. It has a commissioner, and it has since 1993, and his name is Gary Bettman. Like, rename the award. It shouldn't be the President's Trophy. It's idiotic, is it not?
It is what it is. It didn't ever bother me, but yes, now that you pointed out
it bugs you, doesn't it? It does. Really,
it kind of, but it's like that center ice logo thing. It's just really ridiculous. Why can't we change this?
I am here to grind your gears, Heike.
Here it is. And it's just popped into my head of all the people who deserve to have their name on a trophy. And this seems like a perfect one. Scotty Bowman. Like, who else has had more great regular season success than Scotty Bowman?
It's a terrific idea, Mike.
There you go.
The Bowman. Who wins the Bowman?
Because it makes sense. I mean,
they renamed or named the leader in goals, Rocket Richard, right? Historic guy, first to score 50, blah, blah, blah. I just don't understand why it's like a forgotten thing. And it's actually a rather nice looking, you know, aesthetically pleasing trophy, the President's Trophy.
No, I agree. And again, I go back to Bob. I have a lot of respect for Bob Gainey, and Bob Gainey had a lot of respect for being the best team for 82 games. So it really should mean something, and it should carry the weight of, you know, that name.
Yeah. I like that, Mike. Way to go.
There you go.
Should be the Bowman. There should also be awards.
Problems.
There should also be, because it's award season.
Yes.
There should also be awards because we give out a trophy, the Jennings Trophy, to the team that allows the fewest goals. We're so backwards at times.
Yes, we
don't give out an award to the team that scores the most goals in the regular season. How do you celebrate defense but not offense?
How do you allow a hand pass in the defensive zone, but not in the offensive zone?
But you name the award for the team that scores the most goals, the Gretzky. It's the Gretzky.
Yeah.
And the defenseman that finishes with the most points, it baffles me. We have an award. A defenseman's not going to finish with the most points, likely, right? It might happen again. Right. But it's, you know, it's once in a blue moon, once in a solar eclipse, every 300 years or whatever it is. See how I worked that in? I'm very timely on the pod, man, this week. We all got mooned the other day, didn't we?
People are in their car chuckling right now.
Yeah. Oh, are they ever. More dad jokes than anything else. So there's no award for the top scoring defenseman. Quinn Hughes and Makar are kind of vying for it this year. Should be the Bobby Orr. Like, we've got enough distance.
Yeah.
There's enough distance. Now, name these things. Rename them. Give them, celebrate some of this stuff. Like, I can't believe they haven't concocted an award for those two things. I really can't.
I think
we still have awards named after guys that never played, that owned teams in the 20s or whatever it was. Like, come on.
I think
Let's
in
go.
Their push to make their sport more relatable to other fans and other sports, they took away a lot of the uniqueness And they should actually celebrate that. And that would make, I think that would bring in fans more than trying to make this east, west, north, south, central, whatever it is now.
Yeah. Well, just let's celebrate more offense.
Yep.
Because people dig the O. They love the O.
Chicks love the long ball.
Yeah, they do. Great season. 51 wins. Win when they trail. Win when they lead, win an OT, win on the road, win on the road. Man, did they ever win on the road this year. Best road season ever. They win at home, although it seems trickier and harder sometimes. But they win at home. They win one-goal games. They win blowout games. They win a lot of games. A lot of games, Mike. They're winners. You know what winners get, Mike?
Sprinkles.
That's exactly what they get. There's other division news. Who gets the credit for this one, Mike? Is it Frank Saravelli or who? Who broke that one?
It's so hard nowadays because you break a story for 5 seconds and then everybody else on Twitter saying that they broke it. And whoever did, wonderful work on their part.
Just trying to give people their due.
No,
people
you should. I mean,
people don't try anymore.
Well, I've kind of drifted out of the world of journalism now, and now I'm just a shill.
Isn't that the truth?
Oh, my gosh.
So at one point, this is how quickly the news cycle works nowadays. At one point, I was preparing to talk about how the NHL is plotting a shadow schedule for 24-25, Yotes to Salt Lake City, or Yotes staying in the desert. And in the time it took that to even formulate in my mind, it's like there's a press conference at the end of the week and it feels like it's just a foregone conclusion now.
Yeah. I think they parsed their words, but it's pretty clear that to do what they want to do, they have to start, making their moves right now.
So did we not talk about this on a previous Podman?
We did, after a visit to the beautiful Mullet Arena.
Yeah. Did we not talk about how the perfect scenario would be to move the team and then award another team to that area? Very much like, akin to, a reasonable facsimile of the North Stars to Dallas and then the Wild to St. Paul. Look at us. Look at us, soothsayers.
And Razor Domus is always right. But I will say that looking back at that particular example, it just lays out perfectly. I mean, everybody in Minnesota tells us now the team needed to move. They just had so many other things going on. They couldn't get along with the basketball team, much like Phoenix. Their fans were, torn between college hockey and other stuff. And once they went away and once they were able to reconnoiter and come up with a really good plan, they came back and were fantastic. So, I mean, it is a great example of how you can do this properly.
It's a template, Mike. That's exactly what it is. It's a template. You ever think about the financial potential difference?
Between the two arenas or between Phoenix and Salt Lake City?
No, I was just spitballing. I was like, okay, if the Coyotes stayed, you get zero extra dollars until expansion and maybe then a team in Salt Lake City. And then you'd get whatever that windfall is there, right? With expansion. If the Coyotes leave, which it seems like they're going to do here, you get the relocation money from Salt Lake, who are buying the franchise, and then the likely expansion back into Phoenix or Scottsdale or whatever, and you get that money. So financially, this is the greatest path that they could go, right?
Yeah, it's a great, great win for the league.
And my curiosities are so deep with this thing and how it finally came. Maybe they listened to us and they heard the Podman Rush talking about the insanity that would unfold if the Coyotes ever made it to a Stanley Cup final at Mullet Arena in front of 6,000 or
all,
not even
all
right?
Sponsors,
nothing but sponsors.
Hey, can I rain a little bit of doubt on all this stuff?
Sure.
Why Salt Lake City? Like, was there no competition?
Could it
have been Houston? Could it have been Kansas City? There just wasn't even any other talk of any place else. So that to me makes it.
Well, there wasn't any public talk of anywhere else.
Okay. That's probably what it is. So then
I'm sure
they've had
shadow.
This in the works for months.
Well, I would think, and look at again, this is all just, you know,
speculation.
You dreaming up speculation, but Salt Lake's getting an Olympics, a Winter Olympics.
Right.
Right. Has that hasn't been announced, or it has been announced, or
I haven't seen that, but
where is that thing? Well, anyway, the belief is they're in the pipeline for that. So you have that. Then you have, I think it's one of the most desirable places to live in the United States now because of it's a, I mean, monstrous tech hub now in Salt Lake. And they've had a long history of hockey there.
Yes.
So it checks an awful lot of boxes, and you have an owner there that's like, yeah, I'll give you whatever it's going to be, one point something with a B. And they're like, yeah, here we go. But then another one of my questions.
Other sites had any opportunity to even have a discussion about, could we move someplace else? Yeah, me too.
That's way above my knowledge pay grade, all those things. But I would think, yeah, I mean, they do an incredible job of due diligence with areas that would like to join the party a little bit and get involved. And some of it's got to be timing in that too, right? Yeah. Like this was fairly urgent just with the idea. The other thing I was wondering about, Mike, was what was the NHLPA's role in this thing? Because come on, like it was fine when it looked like, okay, well, we're going to get this land here and then we're going to build an arena and you're only going to be in this little college rinky dink for couple seasons, three at the most, and then we're into the glorious brand new facility. And then it's like, that didn't work. And I'm sure they're like, hey, we're losing oodles of money here. And in a world where it's, you know, hockey related revenue and it's a split between ownership and the players, that had to have an odor to it.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, I think if the goes down this way, it's the greatest thing. It's the perfect thing. It's the perfect thing because you're not abandoning that market.
Nope.
But it was never, it felt like it was never, ever going to work the way you needed it to work there until it goes away. You know, it's like, if you love something, set it free, Mike. Set it free. And if it comes back, Mike, yes.
It's yours forever.
Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't,
it was never yours to begin with.
It never was. Anyway, that is happening. Whatever's happening is happening. How's that for a statement, Mike? That nails it down.
You're breaking news. You should put that on Twitter.
I'm not breaking any news. We're spitballing. I said that again. I'm just an echo chamber. Although I am a lead in award season, Mike, because as you may know, we in the broadcast world vote for the highly regarded coach of the year in the National Hockey League.
Mm.
Yeah, that's our big, the professional hockey writers vote on like 50 and we get one. We get the Jack Adams.
I will say this, that race has kind of turned the corner here down the stretch.
You don't get a vote, Mike.
No, I know, but I'm just saying as a fan.
You can pontificate. Go ahead, pontificate.
As an observer, there wasn't a whole lot of light on the state of Texas. And now maybe there is a little glimmer of light on the state of Texas for the Jack Adams Award.
Oh, if you're in the know, like I would be, Mike, there's always been a glance toward the state of Texas in this category. What has happened is some of their glory boys from the Eastern Conference have really fallen out of favor. And with that, they're like, oh, well, maybe we can't vote for Tortorella.
Because everybody wanted that.
Oh, my God. Just, I don't understand any of it. But it is award season. I won't get into who I voted for. We get three choices, by the way. Three. You have to number them. 1, 2, 3. I went heavily Western Conference, if that gives you any idea. Who is your Stars MVP? There's no such award, but why not?
It's a really hard one, and I've diced it up and talked 100 times. I mean, I think the impact of Matt Duchene is he's changed a lot of things. I think he's helped Tyler. I think he's helped Mason. I think he just helped create this, you know, balanced attack. So I would give it to him. But it's really hard.
He's had a struggle for a while.
A little bit, yeah. But,
yeah,
you know, again, you start with the momentum and that carries.
Oh, my God. I know. And,
but I was going to say the other one is Miro. He just, what he did the other night, you just go, oh, I forgot how good he is all the time. So, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, Miro's subtly excellent. It's a tough one because of the shared load. That's right. What I think. You know, Miro Heiskanen is an easy suggestion. But he didn't penalty kill this year. He missed some time. But you look at his overall importance and the time on ice that he logs. Yeah, he's easy. I really don't know if there is one, to be honest with you. It might be Wyatt. It might be Wyatt Johnston. It might be. Here, Mike. I had this. This didn't get in the other night. Might tomorrow. Or not tomorrow. When do we play? What day is it?
Today's Monday.
I'm just
Wednesday.
I am so lost with a few days off. Like, I am so in game on, game off, game on. Like, we've just been doing the one game travel day, day off. What a march this has been to the conclusion of the season. But no games for how many days?
Three.
Jeez.
And now you'll get ready for your 8:50 starts going forward. So that'll be good.
Whatever. I'm great at any time. It doesn't matter to me. Afternoon, night, midnight, I bring it. Wyatt Johnston, scoring chances type. I went deep. This is Razorlytics for all of you out there in P-Rush land. Going into the game the other day, he was number one on the Stars in forecheck chances created, rebound chances. He was number two in rush chances. He was number three in cycle chances on this team. He is the only player who's top three in all four.
That is deep.
Isn't it?
It really is. I mean,
You're basically looking at it and saying, okay, who creates the most in the most different styles or situations within the game? Who is the one that's cooking the most? No, not, okay, well, he gets, you know, he's leading the team in rush chances by 15, but he never gets on the cycle and he can't get to a rebound. He can't do anything. That's it. Forecheck, rebounds, rush, cycle.
That's why analytics are good, because you can point something out like that and say, I mean, I'm, again, as you've drawn me in on so many things, Daryl.
Oh, Mike, that's what I do.
I know. And now I'm going like, yeah, Wyatt Johnston, maybe he's the MVP.
Look at, I change minds.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I change minds. It's an exciting time of year to just look back and fawn over all the greatness that's gone on. No star is going to win an individual award again this season. They won't. But here's maybe a case, again, for a little more coach of the year love for Mr. DeBoer. Team is a division winner in maybe the toughest division to win. Two best divisions in hockey. There's four of them. The two best divisions, I would say, are the Central and the Atlantic. So at the top of those two divisions, you have Dallas, Colorado, and Winnipeg, and then you have Florida, Boston, and Toronto. Right? Those are the two best divisions.
Yeah.
Up top. Up top.
Yeah. Well, so and I think you can even throw Nashville and St. Louis in there. You know, I don't know. As far as
comparison. St. Louis?
They have 91 points for a fifth place team. That's not bad.
Oh, my God. Anybody can get to 91 points.
Yeah. Like, loser point.
You
right?
get points for losing. Damn please. We moved out of the messy middle, Mike. We're not in the, it's a pretty good season. We get 95 points. 95 points isn't a good season. 110 points is a good season. Okay. Will they be the top seed overall in the West?
Yes.
Yeah. I think the Canucks can still wreck that, can they not?
They can with, I think, 4 points in the tiebreaker, but that's asking a lot.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And that's saying the Stars don't get any points.
Okay. In their okay. Well, here you have it. Winner of maybe the most challenging top-heavy division in the league. Check. Top seed in the Western Conference, which is much more of a battle royale than the East is, I would say. Although they, you know, teams did get to clobber and dummy the Hawks and the Sharks all year long, who are historically poor. They're challenging for first overall, right? With no player or goalie on any leaderboard or in any conversation for an award. So then you're like, well, what do you do? Is it hocus pocus? Are you voodooing?
Yes.
Like, how is this getting done? How are you possibly at the top of all these mountains, these divisional, conference, overall mountains, without individuals carrying you in some way? Well, it must be coaching. How's that?
I give it all to Mark Janko. I think he gave the players all, or gave the coaches all the best players. I will say this, that their plan, like they laid it out for us in the summer and said, we need more scoring depth. We need to be more of a three-line team. And then they went and got the players and, you know, bumped a couple guys up from the minors. And it really seems to be working out. And then again, Pete DeBoer and the coaching staff deserve a lot of credit because they were in on that plan as well. But the simple fact that they said, this is what we need, A, B, and C, and then they went out and did A, B, and C, that's impressive.
Yeah. You know what sort of underscores that? And they won't – I haven't asked in a long time, but I think I know the answer. They do not want to fully explain the flag that they carry around, that they all signed in training camp.
Right? Oh, I haven't even seen it. That's how oblivious I am.
Mike, they have a Stars flag.
Okay.
Literally a flag. And it's pinned to the wall just inside the Stars dressing room at American Airlines Center.
Okay.
And it is, I guess, taped to the wall in every dressing room on the road. 81 games now of it. It says a little less for a lot more.
Oh, okay. I've seen the flag. I didn't know it was all signed.
Yeah. Those were the signatures are on there.
Okay.
And what does it mean? They won't tell, but I think you can probably get some semblance of an idea what the – would it be a maxim? Is that what that is?
Sure.
Is it a maxim? Or the underlying message? Basically, to me, if I was going to take a run at it, the meaning – I would say sacrifice your own needs and wants for the common good and the ultimate goal. That's what that would mean to me. And they all signed it.
It's a good maxim to have.
Like, yes, perfect. And they backed it up for 81 games.
Yeah.
That is who they are. That is their identity. Exactly. So we should go with our own flag here on the P-Rush. A lot less for very little. That should be ours, and you and I should sign it. And maybe Jordan Foreman, who helps produce this thing all the time. A lot less for very little. Mike Hyka, Daryl Ray, 2024. What do you think? Good?
It doesn't cost a lot to get us, so that is the very little.
Indeed. Yeah, we got thumbs up. Oh, we got fireworks from Jordan. Beautiful. If only you could see. Very special time.
Yes, indeed.
Many of the various teams, organizations around the National Hockey League and the media that cover them have these media good guy awards. Didn't we talk about this last year that we should come up with one?
Yes.
I think it was Colorado was handing it out. It was just a middle school plaque that they were giving to whoever it was. But I saw another team did it the other day. We need to pull out one of these things, I think. We should concoct one of these, Mike.
It would be a tough competition, I got to tell you.
Okay, go ahead. Do tell me.
There's a lot of good guys.
Well, tell me who the award should go to.
I don't know if I can give it to one person.
I would say the leaders in the clubhouse, which isn't really a clubhouse, it's a dressing room. And as you know, if you've listened to many Podman rushes in past, it is not a locker room. It would be the Brampton boys. I think Scott Wedgwood, Tyler Seguin. I think Seguin's been very, very good, accessible, honest. You know, Wedgwood, his demeanor, good or bad, what's going on with the team or himself, I don't think it ever changes. He's always eager to give the media some time, tons of time. So they would be two that would be on my ballot. So who else, Mike? Or maybe you don't believe in those two. Maybe they're poor.
No, I actually love them. But in fact, the interesting thing about Scott is he's just such a likable person. He's easy to, you know, support and say.
He's a backup goaltender. There's nothing
better than our sport. But then you start talking to others on the team and the little things he does for a Thomas Harley or for Jason Robertson, you know, whether that's on the ice in practice or off the ice at Thanksgiving. Stuff like that. I know, you know, we're talking about a good guy for
the hell
media,
are you talking about, Mike? We're talking about the good guy award with the media.
Saying,
I don't care if he cooked dinner for the rookies.
It goes beyond his ability to communicate.
What are they doing for you, Mike? Who does the most for you?
Okay. Matt Duchene is a great interview, and he puts up with us asking him a lot of times the same dumb questions about how'd you get here, yada, yada, yada. And then two...
He's babblative. He's a good...
Oh, he will go on.
He likes to talk. Yeah.
It was funny because I asked Pete about it earlier in the season. I asked him, you know, on the ice, I hear he talks a lot on the ice. He goes, he never shuts up. I can only imagine on the bench that's not as good a quality as it is for us in the media.
But we don't care about that. We're talking about what the media... It's the greatest quality.
It's the greatest.
For the media, then, good guy award. Mike, stay on point.
And okay, so then my other... on point guy is Wyatt Johnston. To be doing this at age 20 and to be as good as he is with us. And I mean, he's a young kid. He's going to do whatever we ask him to do anyway, but he's really good at it. You know, for a 20-year-old kid, he could just give really short, terrible answers. And he doesn't. He thinks about things and he tries to help us.
And he can do it in French.
Oh, is that right? I've never asked him in French.
Can you speak French?
No. What about Finnish? Okay.
Well, then that probably makes sense, Mike. But yeah, he speaks French. He did interviews with Montreal's media.
Wow.
I made him. He probably hates me for it, but I told the Montreal media, I go, hey, if you're looking for, because we don't have anybody outside of Elaine. And I was like, if you need somebody, he does speak French. And I kind of put him on the spot in there. He did phenomenal, of course.
Yes.
Like, he was great. And it helped them.
How does he speak
It helped
French?
Them. I think it helps us. I think it yeah. helps our organization too. It helps him. I thought it was fantastic.
Was this a family member? Was this just good schooling? Was this a billet?
Formidab. Yeah, schooling.
Okay.
Yeah, Canada, man. We're a bilingual country, Mike.
Tyler Seguin and Mason Marchman had the same schooling. They don't seem to be offering their services.
Well, maybe they didn't get into French immersion like young Wyatt did. The other guy that I enjoy talking to, and you forget a little bit because he's been hurt for a while, is Yanni Hakanpää.
Yeah.
And he's three languages if you want to go down that. But Yanni will Yanni will give some answers to you too. And he's an engaging guy to talk shop with and other things. So they're a good bunch. They're a very good bunch. So yeah, that would be that. Any other stuff on season wrappy? Quite a sports year, quite a pro sports year around the old Metroplex. Can you imagine?
Yeah. It would be fantastic. Imagine? Yes, I can, actually.
I can too.
I mean, it's when you start talking about, you know, how the Stars and Cowboys used to roll back in the day, I mean, sometimes this gets contagious. And I think it'd be so wonderful if they could follow up the Rangers and Scottie Scheffler and, you know, everything else that's going on. Heck, we'll let the Mavericks even get to like the Western Conference Final if they want
to. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, they have, like you said, I'm glad you brought Scotty in, two-time Masters Trophy winner, you know, played over at Royal Oak, still does, the Highland Park kid, played basketball in high school, his greatest parents, his dad Scott's one of the best ones. But they you have the number one golfer in the world from Dallas. You have the number one baseball team on the planet from here. You have likely maybe the MVP of the NBA, although the Joker's probably going to win it. But yeah, I mean, it's
close.
It wouldn't shock anyone,
no,
would it?
It's a debate.
At least he's in the conversation for that, right? So you throw that in, who knows what they do as a team. Then you have this Stars team that, you know, right to the finish line as far as the best team in the regular season and could win the Stanley Cup in the spring. Like, what's going on with FC Dallas? We just throw it all in here. Like,
you got to get Owen on here and spill it all out for him.
You know, like,
you know what's interesting about momentum in this, and, you know, as we talk about all this, there are more people saying, why not the Dallas Stars? Like, I mean, the way that they're finishing the season, the way that other teams are not, you know, finishing the season strongly, it's really gaining some steam throughout the league that people are going like, yeah, if I got a bet, I'm betting on Dallas.
Yeah.
So, that's got to be a positive thing, I would think.
I would think so. You know, there are a lot of other individual stories going on around the league. The biggest one probably in Toronto with Austin Matthews and the 70-goal plateau. 14 times in NHL history has somebody scored 70 goals. And it's not 14 different guys. It's just 14 times and nobody since 1993. So nobody has scored 70 goals in the league. And no Canadian team has won a Stanley Cup since 1993. That's
interesting. Yeah.
There. That's a tidbit near the end of this thing here. Terrific campaign. One more to go. And then they're going to play either the defending Stanley Cup champions, the Vegas Golden Knights, or LA. Is it pretty much down to that now?
Yeah, Kings, I believe so.
Yeah. And they had an incredible record against the Pacific this season. They went 17-3-4 against the Pacific Division. And they didn't lose in regulation to a Pacific team since early December. And man, did they lose that one. They got spanked 6-1 at home by Vegas. The only other losses were 7-4 to Calgary. Remember that nutty game?
Yes.
At American Airlines Center. And they got shut out by Vancouver 2-0. And almost all of that was just Thatcher Demko. They were every bit as good and could have won the game. He was just sensational. That's it for regulation losses against that division. So they're going to play a Pacific Division team in the first round. They really did drum the LA Kings this year. Like, they just seem to throttle them and under two different coaches.
Yeah.
They made a coaching change. For whatever reason, they just, I think it's how fast the Stars play in their style, and they got ahead of them, and they got just superb net minding. Never gave them any momentum whatsoever offensively, and they hammered them. And Vegas, if it's Vegas, I love it. Bring it.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. If you're going
to, you would certainly have the Stars' attention right there in game one.
Well,
I mean, look, you're always going to anyway, but that would be an added motivation.
I just like it from the fact that, okay, here you go. You worked all year long. Look at all the things you did for 6.5 months since you lost game six. Is that what it was?
Yep.
Game six. And it was over quick, but you lost game six. They go on and they win the Stanley Cup. And you understood you couldn't do anything about that. You had to go through all the stuff you've gone through, built up all the calluses, a little bit of scar tissue, a ton of confidence, all the things that you did for 6 months and 82 games. And here you are, right back at it against them. It's everything you'd want. And look, beat them.
Yep.
Who's going to beat you? Beat them.
Yeah.
And I really, and they've got the secret weapon too, in Misha, Donskoy.
he knows everything.
Just think, it'd be almost like you had a little covert operation going on last year, right?
Yeah.
He was with Pete, and then he stayed, and Pete comes here along with Steve Spott, and then this year, after the loss to them and the cup win by then, they bring Misha.
It's pretty smart. I mean, there's a lot of things they did that are pretty smart. And
oh, it's all good. But look, you don't beat anybody with surprise. You beat them with execution. No. And they would understand both those series. Like there's a certain way that Bruce Cassidy's Vegas Golden Knights play, and there's a certain way that Pete DeBoer's Dallas Stars play. And there's a pretty specific way in which the LA Kings play under Hiller now, which isn't, a little lighter, I guess, atmosphere and things and that. But I think they play pretty much the same systems in that in LA, maybe a little tweak here and there. But they're defensive minded. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. They have proved that this season. Like top, what are they, top four, top three-ish?
I haven't looked lately. They've been in that group.
And then the other team's got the Stanley Cup DNA, and they've got that knowledge, and they've got some players coming back from just amazing recoveries, and
as they will,
and getting back into it. And look, it doesn't matter. You face whoever you face in the first round, or second, the third. It doesn't matter. You're playing good teams. And you just got to make sure that you get a bounce and you stay healthy and you play to your capabilities, to your standard. And I'm telling you, if this team does that from the net through the defense to the four forward lines, I want to see the team that can beat them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I agree with what you said the other day, I think on the radio, about the first round of the NHL playoffs. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's one of the greatest sports spectacles around.
And, oh my God,
we should have some amazing matchups in the first round this year.
Yeah, it's the absolute best. It really is. Like, my history with it is the first round is unrivaled. The energy and just the matchups, and everybody's just so ready to go. And there are so many games on. Like, it is screensaver. It is wall to wall every night. It's very much like the early stages of March Madness. The second round is usually where you used to get like a dip. I think we talked about this when it was the old 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7. Yeah. And you'd get the upset, and then you'd get these teams that got into the second round that were just like, holy crap, can you believe it? We're in the second round. We beat them, and they play like it. And it's over in sweeps or 5 games, and it's not very intriguing. And then you'd get to the conference final, and the conference finals were like the heavyweights and the big boys, and it was – fantastic hockey again. And all those teams understood how close they were to it. And then you didn't really know what you were going to get in the cup final. You could get a real good cup final. You could get a rancid one, depending on who got through on the two sides in that. But nothing, it never disappoints in the first round. I've never, ever experienced a dud or an uninteresting opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I had so much fun in Edmonton when we'd go off on nights because we were up there for first rounds.
Oh, my God, the best.
5 or 6 times.
Yeah. I mean, even a couple of years ago, all of us, we're in Calgary and off nights, everyone's over drinking Kokanees and eating Canadian culinary fare and watching hockey games and a lot of gambling commercials on television. That was basically our night. It was like, here's some really good hockey, and here you go. Wayne Gretzky's telling you to bet on it, and then on to the next game. Good times. One thing that has disappointed intermittently all season long would be the Podman Rush. And again, what's our flag, Mike, that we're going to live on? That should be our playoff. Do we do this in the playoff? Did we do it last year?
We haven't in the past, no.
Okay. We're too busy? Is that what it is?
I'd be happy to do it.
Jordan's like, yeah, we're too busy. Oh, but he got fireworks with the thumbs up. A lot less for very little. That is our motto. And did we do it after the rounds? Yeah. There you go. So look at us all cocky and chesty and confident. We'll do it after each of the rounds on the way to the Stars Stanley Cup. So until then, I'm me. Mike Hike is him. Anything else on the way out, Mike? Otherwise, you know who to tell to shut it off and finish his walk.
Tom, double time, okay? You need it.
Good luck in the lottery. Good night.
You've been on the Podman Rush with Razor Ray and Mike Hike, presented by Kingsville Brewery, an official production of the Dallas Stars. To stay up to date on all things Texas hockey, visit DallasStars.com or download the official Dallas Stars app today. Your Dallas Stars have clinched a spot in the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. We need the loudest and proudest fans at American Airlines Center for every playoff matchup as the Stars battle their way to their Stanley Cup destiny. Don't miss a single second of playoff hockey this season. Secure your seats now at DallasStars.com.
Duchesne, backhand,
score! One state, one team, Texas hockey.